For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Dear listeners, welcome to the Kodesh Family Church, Philadelphia, under the leadership of Bishop Dag Heward Mills. This denomination has grown with over several branches all over the world. We are excited to come your way with the anointed word of God, which has the power to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned as we receive God's word through his servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
Corinthians 8, 9. Let's say it again. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Wow. So through his poverty, ye might be rich. Might be rich. There are a lot of people who don't cross the line, might. But today you are crossing. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I am crossing. Say, I've seen the secret and I am crossing. Say, I will find out everything that I ought to do. Yeah, one of it is tithe. You need to pay your tithe. You need to give offering. Yes, these are the things that is the part that you need to play. And as you do it, God will make sure that you become rich. Amen. Close your eyes, put your hand on your heart as we come before the Lord and ask him to bless you today through his word. Come on, speak to him. Say, Lord, help me, bless me through your word, bless me through your word, bless me through your word, bless me through your word. Thank you, Jesus. Let there be a great impartation this morning as we come before you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All the saints shall say amen. Put your hands together for the Lord and please be seated. Amen. We thank God so much for today. So, how many of you have your books? How many do not have a book? You paid, but you didn't get a book yet. All right. We still have a few, but again, these were prepaid. So, I think we have to order more. How many of you would like to have a book? You would like to have a book? Oh, I don't see too many hands. If you would like to have a book, raise up your hand. Okay. So we'll take some orders after. Stephanie, are you writing the names of the people? Okay. So we'll order some more. All right. It is, how much is it again? $15? $15, yeah. It's a very big book. All right. So again, this is a topical Bible study, and we are using one of the great books written by our bishop, How You Can Preach Salvation. It's full of scriptures, and we'll be looking at that. Amen. There are different types of Bible studies, and you must know the Bible. Every Christian must know the Bible. Your link to God and the promises and the things that God wants you to have is the Word of God. The Bible says that we become partakers of the divine nature. How? Through the word, the promises that are written in there. You need to know. Amen. So even as we talk about how to preach salvation or how you can preach salvation, equipping ourselves on how we can share Christ, I bet you as you read this book, how many of you have started reading it already? You will also notice that there are a lot of things in there that will bless you. It's not just equipping you, but it's actually also showing you who you are, what you are in Christ, and the benefits that there are in being born again. Are you understanding? So as we share, you would see. So there's no way. We don't intend to go through this whole book in 4 weeks. There's no way we're. So I'm going to be very unconventional. I'm going to start from the middle. So turn to chapter 51, Salvation Message 51. It's on page 280. And it's one thing is needful. One thing is needful. All right? So today we're going to add to our knowledge of how you can share Christ. You can share Christ. You can preach Christ. You can... Preaching is sharing, isn't it? You can share, preach Christ to someone. Share Christ with someone by telling the person one thing is needful. And I'm saying that as we read through, you see that there's one thing that is needful, even pertaining to yourself. Even if you are born again, you need to correct a few things. So our key passage is Luke chapter 10 and verse 38 to 42. So we are reading scriptures. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. Please put up the scriptures. Luke 10, 38 to 42. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him unto her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. So those of you that, you know, when there are major functions, a lot of times, let's say we're doing Friends Day and we say bring food, the cooking of the food and the, you know, the preparation and activities around the food takes over the whole Sunday, that you don't even come to church. Or you stay at home with the excuse of cooking and then come right after the service is over with your food. This is teaching us a lot already, isn't it? I told you to teach you a lot of things. So he says, bid her therefore that she should help me. Huh? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You too worry. But one thing is needful. Everybody say, but one thing is needful. Say it again, but one thing is needful. So one thing, turn to your neighbor and say, single one. And look at them and smile and say, una, una. That's Spanish. One thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Amen. So in preaching salvation, in sharing salvation, in telling people about Christ, one of the things, or one of the approaches, is to tell them that one thing is needful. And why is it needful? Number one, like Martha, most people are busy about many unnecessary things, whilst they neglect the one thing that is really important. Yeah. People are busy about many things. People are busy about decorating their homes. It sounds ridiculous, but somebody, and turn to your neighbor and say, I know it's not you. Somebody could easily not come to church because they are decorating their home. Sunday is a day that they've decided to paint. Sunday is a day that they've decided that today is a day that I'm going to put together my Christmas decoration. Yeah, maybe God has blessed you with a nice house that you can afford to change colors, and you can afford to change, you know, the tablecloth and the curtains, and to match, whether it's spring or whether it's fall. You know, you want those, that decoration with leaves and things to say it's fall. And you see, you can do it any other day, but Sunday is a day. It's not a ridiculous thing. Do you see? So you can point out to people that one thing is needful, and don't avoid the important thing by being too busy with other things. Are you understanding? Yeah. People are busy about getting the right education for their children. Yeah. Charlie, this country here, you understand the word Charlie? Yes. This country, I tell you, it is God. Yes, it is God. Even children, teenagers who grow up in a home or homes where both parents are pastors and there's nothing else in the home other than the word of God can rebel. You see that a time will come that it is God. It is God, absolutely God. There's nothing that you can do. It takes God. Yeah. It's true. So that is why you must be careful how you make excuses around your children. As for my child, hey, ballet lesson, you know. It's a ballet lesson. Yeah. Ballet. Ask your neighbor that, do you know ballet? You know, when I was growing up, I grew up in a place that we didn't know ballet. The dance that we knew was called panlogo. Panlogo. I mean, I can't even explain it in a way that an American would understand. By you, it's ballet. Teaching your children on Sunday how to tippy toe whilst dancing. Forgive. People are busy about getting food for their husbands. Yeah. Oh yeah, virtuous woman. We must rightly divide the word of truth. Yeah. All you do is teach your husband how to eat breakfast in bed on Sunday. You should teach him how to even come to church. How to obey the word of God. Yes, because let me tell you something. In the times of crisis, your breakfast won't help him. Your sausage will not help. You get into crisis where your husband is so angry, so upset, and he can't listen to anything. Offer him sausage and scrambled eggs. Yeah, offer him sausage and scrambled eggs and see whether the problem will. He will take the bowl and just smash your face with it. So choose what is needful. Amen. Bishop shares a very funny story in here that a lot of you have heard about the professor that was trying to cross this river, isn't it? And there were no ferries, nothing. The only thing that was available was a little boat, isn't it? With somebody who would, a little guy, villager, that would just paddle. It wasn't even motorized. So this guy, I mean, he had no choice. That was the only source. So he sat in there. And when he sat on the boat, he started ridiculing the guy. Was looking down on him because he's a professor, you know. He's learned, you know, biology, physics, you know. Yeah, science student. He's a science student, thank you. A science professor. So he was looking down this villager who probably was not even well dressed. He's in his suit and all that. And just ask him funny questions. Do you know bacteriology? Because he would notice he was washing his hands. He was eating without washing his hands. Do you know bacteriology? How many of you know bacteriology? 30% of your life is gone if you don't know. Bacteriology, any time you see or you hear the word logy, it's steady, isn't it? A study of something. So bacteriology, bacteria. So the study of bacteria, how to kill them with antibiotics and all that. So he's asking, do you know bacteriology? I don't. 10% of your life is gone. Then you ask him the next question. Do you know physics? 10% of your life is gone. Do you know this? 10% of your life. And I'm sure by the time they were approaching, now 10%, 10%. I mean, even if you're an art student, you know that 10 of 10 makes 100. There's nothing left, isn't it? So by the time he's asked, do you know this? Do you know 10 times? Now he's going to the next life. Even in heaven, his life will still be going. So finally, as they were approaching, there was a little bit of turbulence. And this guy turned to the professor, said, do you know swimminology? The study of swimming. A guy said, no, because despite the fact that he was a professor, he did not know anything about how to swim or the study of swimming. Then the guy looked at him and said, 100% of your life is gone. Not even 10, because you drown, you are gone, isn't it? Yes. So ladies and gentlemen, it's very important to pick the right thing. Like Martha, most people are busy about many unnecessary things whilst they neglect the one thing that is really important. In the case of the professor, the most important thing was how to swim. Yes. Better know how to enter into heaven. Yeah. better know how to enter into heaven. Heaven is real. Yeah. One day you will find yourself dead. If the Lord does not come in our lifetime, we'll all die one day. But we are not about to die, in Jesus' name. Yeah. I refuse to do funerals. Yeah. Yes. We'll do outdoorings. Many, many outdoorings. And weddings in this church. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You shall live and not die.
Amen.
You shall live to declare the works of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Number two, like Mary, the one thing that is needful, page 283. Like Mary, the one thing that is needful is to get wisdom and knowledge of God. Yes, it's very important to get the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Amen. So Mary sat at the feet of Jesus to receive that wisdom. The word of God is wisdom. The word of God is wisdom. The word of God will practically teach you. The word of God will practically equip you for every area of your life. Yes. It will teach you practically. The word of God talks and touches on every area in our lives. Whether it be marriage, whether it be how to be a parent, whether it be how to be a student, whatever it is mentioned, God's word touches on it. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, quickly. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7 and verse 8, quickly. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. It is the main thing. Wisdom is the main thing. Amen. Wisdom is the main thing. Turn to your neighbor and say, wisdom is the main thing. Yes. And that is acquired through the word of God. So as she was sitting at Jesus' feet, she was acquiring wisdom. She had chosen what was needful, what was necessary. Not what was not necessary. Not the unnecessary thing by running around and doing so many. We can be busy. Listen, we can be busy. Sometimes I say, I don't think there's anybody as busy as I am. Seriously. Yeah. You can be very busy, but what are you busy about? What are you busy about? Are you busy about important things? So it says wisdom is the principal thing. Why? So he says, therefore, get wisdom. If it's the principal thing, it is the main thing, get it. Get it. Oxygen is important for you to live. So get oxygen. Get oxygen. We don't have to even argue about it. Try stopping your breathing. You enter another arena called death. Because oxygen is principal. It's important. It's one of the main things for survival. If you get into a place that there's no oxygen, guess what? You die. So he's saying that spiritually and relating to God, wisdom is important. Therefore, get wisdom. Therefore, get wisdom. Get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Yes. And understanding also comes by the word of God. Amen. Wisdom is a practical thing. This message is not about wisdom. But let me say this and then leave it there. When you operate in wisdom, you practically do things. Yeah. It's more than just having thoughts. Having thoughts and walking around without anything, it's not wisdom. Wisdom actually is dynamic. Wisdom actually makes you do things. So when you have wisdom, it's depicted or portrayed in your life. Wisdom. That is what wisdom is. Then the last part of the verse says, exalt her, and she shall promote thee. You notice how they're using a feminine gender for it, isn't it? Yeah, because it's productive. Exalt her. And she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Amen. Number three. There is usually one thing, all right? So we are preaching or sharing Christ based on one thing that is needful, isn't it? And the first thing we said was that, like Martha, most people are busy about many unnecessary things, whilst they neglect the one thing that is really important. So we want to bring people's mind to what is really important. Number two, we said, like Mary, the one thing that is needful is to get wisdom and knowledge of God. And that's what Mary chose, isn't it? By sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha was running around. And I'm sure Martha thought she was doing great service, which is good. It's good to serve, isn't it? But Jesus said, hey, look, Mary has chosen the right thing. Number three, there's usually one thing that keeps people away from God. Make sure that you do not allow one thing to keep you away from your salvation. Do not allow money, a habit, a woman, a man to prevent you from your calling. Yeah. A man can prevent you from your calling. A woman can prevent you from your calling. Money can prevent you from your calling. Yes. Some people, if you were to take away the factor of money, they will become saved. Wow. Yes, the only problem is money. What? And it's sad. Because if you understand even life, the Bible says that it is God. He gives you the power to make money, number one. Don't forget that even after you have the money, you also need some power to enjoy it. There are many people who have money who cannot enjoy it. Yeah. Sometimes I look at some of these Hollywood stars and I'm sad. Because when I was a kid, there was some I really liked. Yes. Yes. Oh, the Michael Jackson was not my thing. Yeah, I liked Whitney Houston. To me, she was a very nice, could be a real sister. I know she was brought up in church. But somebody just entered her life, messed her life up. See? So a man or a woman can make or unmake you. A man or a woman can make or unmake you. Very important. Are you understanding? Yes. Mark chapter 10 verse 21, quickly. Mark 10, 21. I told you we'll be looking at a lot of scriptures. We're doing a powerful Bible. How many of you are enjoying it so far? It says, then Jesus, beholding him. Do you remember? The rich man. He had so much money. And he came to Jesus. It's like, what can I do? Lost. Jesus gave him a few rules. He said, oh, no problem. I've done all that. And then Jesus diagnosed his problem. So Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Listen, it takes somebody who loves you to tell you the truth. Very painful. Yeah. Sometimes when my wife is talking to me, she'll tell you, I'm the only one who can tell you this. Yeah. It's true. Even this morning, she made some comment. Because even if you see something wrong, you can't tell me. If you tell me, I'll mark you now. Yeah. So it's people who love you. Yeah. When your pastor is able to tell you things, it's also an expression of a certain level of love and another level of a relationship with you. So Jesus loved this man and said to him, one thing. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, one thing. Yes. So we are saying that there's one thing usually that prevents you. If you are here, you are not born again. Or even if you are here, you are born again, but you are not doing so well. It's one thing. One thing. Usually not two or three or four. It's one thing. Turn to your neighbor and show him your index finger and say, one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing. And ask him, can you identify that one thing? So God is speaking to you right now that let go of that one thing. Let go of that one thing that is preventing you from doing well or entering into the kingdom. He said, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come up, take up the cross, and follow me. Yeah. His problem was wealth. Your problem could be different. But this problem was wealth. And Jesus said, get rid of it. Just come and follow me. Yeah. Listen, I believe that there's a day that will come to every man or woman. Yes. And you realize that either you've done the right things or you've wasted your life. Yeah. Most people, if they had a death sentence, maybe they went to a hospital and the doctor said, this thing is, you know, it's bad. So that their lifestyle changes immediately. Yes. They'll begin to do certain things that they never used to do. They'll be the first in church, first on prayer lines, first at all night. We have all night this coming Friday. All night. We're praying from 9:30 to 4 a.m. Isn't it? Yeah. One of my senior work colleagues was talking to me and I said, that day we're having an all night. He said, you really go to church and pray from 9:30 to 4? 9:30 p.m. to 4 a.m. Saturday morning? What? What? He looked at me as though I was crazy. Yeah. But listen, I'm more sane than you think. Yeah, because I know what prayer will do. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, one thing thou lackest. Say, identify that one thing that thou lackest. Number four, one thing that is needful for you to have a personal one thing that is needful for you is to have a personal encounter with God. You need a personal encounter with God. Christianity is not about having a Christianity is about having a personal relationship with Jesus. And the emphasis is personal. Christianity is about seeing God and knowing God. You need that. You need that personal encounter with God. I think anybody who does not have that personal encounter with God will not do well. Once you've had that personal encounter with Him, you will change. You will have true repentance. Give Him the opportunity to have that personal encounter with Him by inviting Him into your life and letting go and let him take over. Yes. And when He takes over, you will experience Christ and have that personal encounter. And I tell you, once you have that personal encounter, you would not like to go back again. Amen. Yes. The verse here is John chapter 9, verse 25. Quickly, John 9, 25. It was about this blind man who got healed. Jesus healed him on the Sabbath day. And you know, people were annoyed that why should he heal on the Sabbath day, etc. And they were upset with him. And they even went to call. First, they said Jesus had a demon. He was a devil. And then some of them were like, how can a devil heal somebody? A devil is healing people. How? You know? And then at a point, they even brought the parents and to verify whether he was blind. So they brought the parents and said, is this your son? He said, yeah, this is our son. You know, was he born blind? He was born blind. So what happened to him? He said, ask him. He's of age. Because they didn't want to. They were also playing politics. You see? So this was the response of the blind man when they asked him. They kept asking him. So they asked him again. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Listen, this personal encounter that I'm talking about, it doesn't have to be sickness. It doesn't have to be something it's like a tragedy. No, all you need is just allow him. It could be a relationship. It could be something that you're struggling with in your profession. It could be something small, but just allow him. Allow him by getting into this relationship with him, inviting him into your life, and then inviting him into that situation and let him do it. Amen. See, this is why I'm so crazy now about self-centers. Yes, because we're going to experience God. Yes, we're going to experience God. And I want everyone to belong to a self-center. Everyone should belong to a self-center. Everyone, every church member should be part. part of a sermon center, because we are going to really experience God. You're going to, this is where your encounters are going to come from. Because we'll practically be praying and we'll hold hands and we'll pray and agree concerning different issues in your life. And you would practically experience God. Somebody say, hey, amen. Yeah, you will experience God and you will have a personal encounter with Him. One that you can never run away from. One that you can never say no to anymore, because it will be so clear that this is God. That is what you need. Wow. I said, wow. Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Number five, quickly. One thing that is needful is for us to sacrifice so that we can have treasures in heaven. It is time to take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow Jesus. Yes. This could also be a hindrance to someone knowing Christ. They don't want to sacrifice. They don't want to sacrifice their time. Yes. They don't want to sacrifice money. They don't want to sacrifice anything. That is even the main hindrance for them giving their lives to Christ. Because they are thinking, if I give my life to Christ, from now on I have to be in church every Sunday. I have to be in church on Wednesdays. I have to come for all night service. I'm not going to give a pastor an opportunity, a man of God an opportunity to be able to speak to me and tell me this is right and this is wrong. This is what you must do. And that's why you are afraid. You are afraid to sit in church and me saying things to you. You are afraid to sit in any church and a pastor preaching to you and telling you, this is the word of God. This is what God said. You are afraid. But it's time to deny yourself and say, enough is enough. And take up your cross. The cross is a symbol of sacrifice. It's a symbol of sacrifice. The same scripture that we read about that rich man, this time in the version that Luke gave, Luke 18:22. He says, when Jesus had heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Deny yourself, sacrificing and following Jesus. That is what you need. I said, that is what you need. Number six, quickly, last one. One thing that is needful is to dwell in the house of the Lord forever and to spend eternity with Him. Will you dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life? Or will you dwell in the house of the devil all the days of your life? Choose Jesus Christ and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 27 verse 4, quickly. Psalm 27 verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Let's sing that song as we end. Come on, can I get some help? Macario and Emma, come up and let's sing it. Emma, why? Give your camera to someone. We're ending with this song. I think it's a good song. Which version? Let's sing the popular version. One thing I... Yes, that one. Let's end with that. Jesus, God is helping you.
I fix my eyes on you, the author of my faith.
Listen to the words.
Casting aside every sin and every way. Fix my eyes. I fix my eyes on you. I lay
Can
my
we
burdens
have the words,
down.
Please?
I lay my burdens down.
Letting the cares of this world.
Letting the cares of the world now fade away. One thing I ask, one thing I ask.
Come on, one thing.
This one thing I ask. that I may dwell in your house, O Lord, my King. Oh, all the days of my life, I want to gaze on your beauty and seek you, in this holy
place. Let's sing one more, one thing.
One thing I ask, this one thing I seek, that I may dwell in your house, O Lord, my King. Oh, all the days of my life, I want to gaze on your beauty. Seek you in this holy place.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Perhaps this is not your cry, or has not been your cry till now. But that ought to be your cry. The one thing that is needful. To dwell in the house of God, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, is what you need. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you are here today, you want to say, Pastor, pray with me, pray for me. I want to enter that relationship with Jesus. I want to have that relationship with Jesus. I want to pray for you. Anybody like that here? Just slip up your hand gently. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you before I say. Anybody here? Number two, maybe you are here, but you know that, and you know in your heart that this is not where you are. Even though you profess Christ, you are not living in the one thing that is needful. Your life is not right. Your life is not straight. Your life is not what it ought to be with Him. And this morning you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to be restored. I want to pray for you. Anybody like that here, just slip up your hand gently, nobody looking. Slip up your hand gently. I want to pray for you. Anybody here like that? Thank you, Lord. Anybody want to say, Pastor, pray with me? Pray for me. I want to just rededicate my life to Jesus and do that one thing that is needful. I see that hand. Any other hand? Close your eyes. Don't look around. Make it easy for people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know your heart. Every head bow, every eye closed. Let us pray this prayer, everyone. Let us say this together. Say, Jesus. 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 I call upon you today. I recognize that one thing that is needful, that one thing that is most important, to walk with you, to dwell in your presence, to have a relationship with you, to have that personal encounter with you, is all that matters. So this afternoon, this morning, I give myself to you. I rededicate my life to you. And I say, Jesus, take me as your child. I will love you. I will serve you. I will do that which is needful all the rest of my life, and dwell in your presence forever. Thank you for your great help this morning, in Jesus' name. And all saints shall say, Amen.